This episode of Stating the Obvious is picking up pretty much right where episode 179 leaves off. So you might want to go back and listen to that one. It's one of the cases where I don't think it's really required, but I'm going to continue my discussion about Star Trek. The original series, the great series, the awesome series, the series with Kirk and Spock and McCoy and all the other interesting characters. And like, that's one of my big problems with Next Generation. And as much as I don't like Picard, Picard was at least an interesting character. And I also thought that Worf was an interesting character. But truth is, all the other characters in Next Generation, I just really didn't give a shit about them as characters. They were not interesting to me at all. So even to this day, I'll watch a Next Generation episode if it centers around Picard or Worf. But the other ones, I just don't have any interest. Oh yeah, we're rolling. Thanks, Randy. So anyhow, I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I'm an anarcho-capitalist. I'm always right, never wrong. And this is Stating the Obvious, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect. It homes in on and destroys stupid motherfucking statists all around the world. Wherever you are, thanks to the power of the internet. Of course, if it weren't for Al Gore, there'd be no internet because he invented the internet. Wherever you are out there on the planet Earth, if you have an internet connection or an MP3 player, you can hear Stating the Obvious, and you can hear me rip you a new asshole if you believe that without the government, nobody would build roads. The roads! Who would build the roads? Roads! Today, I could talk about that too. Fuck, as I sit here, I think I have more stuff to talk about. May. Today is the 4th of May. May the 4th be with you. Oh, yes, geek joke. Oh, go geek joke. It's the 4th of May, 2014. I'm the Great One himself, Single Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. It's a series of tubes. Yes, sir. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy, and it is... I didn't realize it was after 6 p.m. Like, probably because of my laziness and my sleeping in until... Fuck, how late did I sleep in today? I can't even remember if it was 8 or if it was 9. Jesus, I haven't been in bed that long in a while. But I was tired. So anyhow, it's already after 6 p.m. So I'm like, what the fuck? So we're going to knock out one more episode and then we're going to take a break. And I'm going to do some stuff and work on other projects. But you don't care. Why am I telling you? You're like, shut the fuck up and make fun of statist. All right. Talking about original Star Trek. Here... Where's my book? Let me see if I can find it quickly. Let's see. First season. What was the name of that episode? Star Trek episodes I recently watched. Yes. Hang on. I will point the microphone at me. Thank you. That'll make it sound better. Sorry for the microphone noises. So I recently watched the Corbomite Maneuver, which that's a good one. That's where Captain Kirk plays poker, metaphorically speaking, with the unknown alien. And again, let's... As me getting comfortable in my chair. God, sitting down. I'm ready to go to sleep again. All right, let's talk about ANCAPism and the original Star Trek. So, you know, in this episode, this is the episode where Kirk is like, look, we could be in danger here and we could die, but our mission is to go forth into space and make contact with new civilizations. And this is what men do. You know, men don't turn around and run the fuck away when confronted with the opportunity to fulfill their destiny. Again, that's some ANCAPism for you there, right? Because statist would be like, oh my God, it's dangerous. We need to call the police to protect us. Kirk's like, you know what? We're going to fucking go into this and we're going to deal with it because that's what we're here for. All right, watch The Conscience of the King. That's the one where it was hilarious too, because it's, you know, this is one of those things, Star Trek being made back in the 60s. This, the antagonist, well, okay, so the story was that back in the day, there was the governor of this colony planet, and they were running out of food, and so he had to kill 2,000 of the 4,000 people who were on the planet. And it's like this big deal. He murdered 2,000 people. And it's like, dude, Obama murders 2,000 people. I mean, how long does it take Obama to murder 2,000 people with the flying robots and the war on drugs and all of the police brutality? Check out Cop Block. If you Google for Cop Block, if you want to see lots of police brutality videos and stuff. I mean, what, killing 2,000 people, no big deal. But anyhow, that one was about, so this guy is trying to live out the rest of his life. And what's funny is, with all the technology, there are only 5 people who know what he looks like. So hold it. This guy was the governor of the colony, and 2,000 people were not killed, and 2,000 people, well, they don't really make it clear in the episode, did the 2,000 people survive or did only 5 survive? But of course, Captain Kirk was one of the survivors who could recognize him. But it's, how could you be the governor of a planet and there not be any pictures of you or records or anything? I don't know. So that's one of those Star Trek episodes where you're just like, what the fuck? But the deeper part of it was that this guy had made these mistakes in his life and was just trying to live his life out and forget about it. And I feel like I'm doing spoilers here, but dude, these stories are from the 60s, if you don't know by now. But his daughter goes nuts and is psychically killing off everybody that she thinks could identify him and damage him. And again, some great philosophy and some great thinking and stuff like that. And then there's that one. The Return of the Archons. Yes, that one made me definitely think of statism also. That's the episode where everybody's life is run by a computer, which of course is the fucking left-wing statist wet dream. There's that whole group of people. I can't remember who they are now. I keep wanting to call them the Zeitgeist people, but I don't think it's the Zeitgeist people. It's something else. It's like the Zeitgeist movement. And goddamn, I cannot remember what it is. And I talked about it a few episodes of Stating the Obvious ago, or maybe more than a few, because Stefan Molyneux debated the guy who started the movement and just destroyed him, and he's an idiot, and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, so they get to this planet where everybody's life is run by the computers, and there's a lot of Star Trek episodes where people are actually having their lives run by computers. And of course, Kirk always does the right thing. He destroys it so that people can live their own lives and make their own mistakes. But of course, you statists would love to live in, I mean, that, what would be even better than having the government run your lives for you, right? What would be better than having the government determine who's allowed to get married to who? And what could be better than the government deciding what drugs are allowed and what drugs aren't allowed? And what would be better than the government deciding who should be murdered with flying robots and who shouldn't be murdered? Well, only thing that could be better would be if a computer did that. Because computers know everything. Computers are the smartest things ever. And if the computer says so, it must be true. That's how we know global warming is real, because the computer said so. Operation Annihilate. I think that's it. I can't believe I can't remember the name of this episode. Let me check this real quick. And I went too far. All right, page 117. Come on. Come on, fingers, we can do it. No, that's not it. That's a different episode. I knew that. I thought it was. What in the fuck is the name of? Of course, Mira Mira is a classic. The Doomsday Machine is a great one, too, where the giant machine that destroys entire planets and they have to stop it. That's a fucking sweet one. Why? Patterns of Force is another one I watched recently. Yes, I watched all these recently. What the fuck? Why can I not... A Taste of Armageddon. That's the one I'm looking for. Damn it. All right, so... Patterns of Force. That's the one where the guy goes to a planet to study them. The Starfleet representative goes to the planet to study them. And he finds their societies in disarray. And so he sits up a emulation of Nazi Germany because he thinks that this was the most efficient government that had ever been known on the United States. In the United States. Alright. He went to this planet and found it in a mess. So he set up a Nazi-like government under the rationalization that the Nazi government was the most efficient and effective government that had ever been on the planet Earth, and he wanted to whip these people into shape. And so it's like, yeah, this is what happens when you have an effective and efficient state. You get murder. I mean, look at us right now in the United States of America. We have a very effective and a very efficient state between the government, the NSA, the flying robots, the militarized police forces, the corporations spying on your information, all the information gathering, all of the cameras. I mean, with all this stuff going on, we have a very efficient and effective state. And we have more people in prison than any other society on the planet now or previously. We've killed more people in wars probably than anybody else. Actually, I have numbers on that. Well, maybe we've killed a lot of people in wars. Does it really matter if we've killed more people in wars than anybody else? We've killed a lot of people in wars. We, of course, have a industrial base that's to a large extent dependent on slave labor in China to make your Apple computers for you so that you can think differently. We have an efficient and effective state, and look how fucked up it is. A Taste of Armageddon. That's the episode I was talking about in the previous edition of Stating the Obvious. And somehow or another, I was going to tie something back in. Taste of Armageddon. Okay. Hey, Randy, I just figured out what I'm going to talk about. Did I mention that this is Cynical Libertarian Society? CYNLIBSOC.com on the internet. Send us email at God, that's dog spelled backwards, God@CYNLIBSOC.com. And that in the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. And the theme song for Stating the Obvious is You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour. It's off his 1984 album. It's a song that he wrote about me. So anyhow, in A Taste of Armageddon, the aliens on the two planets are fighting their war with each other, and they're using the computers, and the computers shoot simulated missiles and drop simulated bombs and all this other stuff, and the computers tally up who died in those attacks. And then those people go and they get in disintegration chambers and they kill themselves. And Kirk points out that war is not supposed to be clean. War is supposed to be messy. That's your incentive not to engage in war, is because it's messy. And the alien leader, we'll call him President Obama, just for the sake of discussion. And President Obama makes the counterpoint that by doing things this way allows them to go on the way they are, and they don't have to change, and they don't have to survive, and they don't have to deal with the fallout, and all the people that aren't killed off by the computers are safe. And it made me think about, again, how similar that is to where we are right now in the United States. Via drone warfare, we are computerizing the killing of other people. And so far right now, nobody has drones to kill American citizens back. Although, if you think that the terrorists and all these other people you're scared of, if you think one day they're not going to get drones of their own, then you're really stupid, because of course they are. I mean, this war will only escalate. But in Star Trek, this computer war is accepted by everybody because it's so clean and perfect, and nobody really notices the fallout of the war because there is no fallout of the war. And this is exactly what's happening with the drone warfare. People are like, oh, this is so great. We can kill those people in foreign countries, and we don't have to risk sending our soldiers over there. This is not a good thing. This is a bad thing. Because the more we can kill people without having to risk anything, and when I say, of course, we, I mean Obama and his minions, the more Obama can murder people in foreign countries without having to risk any negative side effects like American soldiers dying, that's the more the sheep in the United States are going to support Obama and support him murdering people and look the other way. This is an all-around bad idea. People are only going to oppose the murder of other people if murdering other people is inconvenient for them. Why did the hippies oppose the war in Vietnam? It wasn't so much because they cared about peace or not killing yellow people. It was because of the draft. It was because they were scared they would have to go over there and do the killing and get shot at. As soon as the draft was eliminated, the anti-war protest dried up. And while there was a little bit of a resurgence of it during the Bush era, again, you saw as soon as Obama got elected, the anti-war movement was gone. I mean, it's nowhere in sight. Why? Because people aren't really impacted by the war. The killing is being done with flying robots and a Delta team and all this other stuff. There's not a large number of casualties. There's no draft. So because people, the average person out there, is not in any danger from the war, and the average person out there benefits from the wars, they have no reason to oppose it. The only way you're going to get the average sheeple, jackass, statist pieces of shit that comprise 99% of the population to oppose the war is for there to be some danger to them. And I don't see that really happening in the foreseeable future. And that's why the anti-war movement is dead. And that's why the murder with drones is only going to escalate. What else is on the list? Ah, speaking of murdering, I saw something on Facebook. I can't remember the name of it now, but it's an interesting concept and I like it. And this tails off of, hang on a second. This forks off of something else I'd heard of before, which was people who are interested in avoiding police brutality would set up what they called militias, where you would have on your cell phone, you'd have certain other people who are like you, opposed to police brutality. And if the police approach you, or if you see the police approaching somebody else, or any kind of situation where there could be police brutality, you send off a quick message to this list of people. And anyone who is in your area and can get there, and of course this means you have to text where you're at, so it takes a bit of time, you may not have time to do it, and we'll get to that. And so these other people would respond and come to where you are and then film the police in order to help protect you from police brutality. And when I first heard about that, I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. So apparently now, some company out there, and I cannot remember the name of it from Facebook or anything else, I saw it on Cop Block's Facebook page, so you might be able to find it through them, or just go to Cop Block's website. They might have something about it there. Here's the concept. It's an application for smartphones, and you, and this was being presented as a way, and this is, my brain. So here's the anarcho-capitalism. Let me go ahead and take at it this way. Because people say, in addition to who's going to build the roads and who's going to murder brown people with flying robots if we don't have the government, right? If there's no government, who's going to provide police services? And wouldn't there just be private police and they'd shoot each other and shoot other people and rape women and all this other stuff? So the concept behind this app is you eliminate the need for the police, because through the app, the people who sign up for the app essentially are saying, yes, I will come to the defense and the rescue of other people using the app. And so the app has two functions. Function one is where you can set it off and it will alert certain people that you have designated based on who they are, regardless of their location, that you're in danger. The other function is when you set it off, it alerts based on proximity. So everybody else around you, say within whatever it is, you know, 100 feet or 1 mile or 5 miles, who has opted into this system would be alerted to your location and that you're in trouble, and they could respond and come and help you. And it's brilliant. And this is called using technology to solve the problems that you fucking statist out there think just can't be solved. I mean, without the government, who would build roads? I mean, roads are flat spaces that have pavement on them. Without the government, nobody could make a flat spot and put some pavement on it. That's impossible. Without the government, how could there be police? I mean, you need to be able to dial 911 and argue with the 911 operator and convince her that you actually are in trouble and it's not a prank call. And then she has to get around to summoning the police, who have to put down their cup of coffee at the donut shop and go out to their car and start it up and then log on to their computer to check their Facebook account and then mosey on over to where you are, because they don't want to get there in too much of a hurry, especially if there's a possibility of danger, right? It's like all those school shootings where the police show up, put barricades around the school, and then stay outside. Because if you go inside the school where the psycho is shooting the children, well, that could be dangerous. And here it is. It's a cell phone app. Everybody has a fucking smartphone these days. You pull it out, you push the goddamn button, it sends an alert. Because of the magic of GPS and stalking, thanks to corporations and the NSA who know where you are every fucking moment when you have your smartphone, thanks to the magic of stalking, I guess we can thank the state for that. If it weren't for the government, who would stalk your every fucking location 24 hours a day via your cell phone? As far as I know, only the government does that right now. But you hit the button, the signal goes out, and people around you know exactly where you are, and they come to your assistance. Whether it's medical emergency, whether you're being raped, whether you're being mugged. That's the word I'm looking for. Mugged. Whether you've fallen down a well and you can't get out. Whether there's police brutality being used against you. I mean, what a fantastic concept. But without the government, who would be the fucking police officers? Shut up. Shut up, you fucking statist. All right, speaking of, So in the previous episode, I talked about Memphis, the musical. I didn't even finish that thought, because here is the other main thing I wanted to say about that. All of this white guilt media, white guilt TV shows, white guilt movies, white guilt Broadway productions. I was thinking as I was being subjected to sitting through this play, and I use the term play loosely, why is white guilt so popular? I mean, we get why white guilt is so popular because of white guilt, and because it's beat into people via the public school system and all this other stuff. But what is it about the white guilt that left-wing statists are so in love with? And I think, here's my theory on this. left-wing statists have no morality whatsoever, and they are currently, of course, engaged in all sorts of activities which they know and understand are wrong, morally wrong, like murdering people in foreign countries with flying robots, putting people in prison for bullshit, police brutality, all this other stuff. Left-wing statists mindlessly support all of this stuff, and left-wing statists, as I've explained before, left-wing statists are evil because they're doing bad things and they know the things they're doing are bad. Right-wing statists are stupid because they're doing bad things, but they think the bad things they're doing are good. Left-wing statists are stupid and they're evil and they get that. And so I think that their inability, they're compensating for their inability, and it's not even inability, it's an unwillingness. They're unwilling to do anything about righting moral wrongs in the present. And so as a result, left-wing statists like to focus on the righting of moral wrongs in the past and pretend that they had something to do with that. Right, you meet liberal Democrats today in the year 2014, and they love to take credit for affirmative action, and they love to go back before that and take credit for eliminating the Jim Crow laws, and they like to go back and further in time than that and take credit for freeing the slaves, and they go back in time and they take credit for Abraham Lincoln, even though he was a Republican. All right, so left-wing statists love to try to take credit for Martin Luther King Jr. and all this, and Rosa Parks. They love to take credit for all this stuff and talk about how they did that, even though, of course, it was the Democrat Party that tried to keep the Democrats. It was the Democrat Party that wanted to keep black people as slaves. It was the Democrat Party that was behind most of the Jim Crow laws, and the Democrat Party that yada yada yada. And it was actually the Republicans that quote unquote freed the slaves, which they didn't really free the slaves, but that's another topic. But yeah, the Democrats love to go back in time and try to take credit for all of this shit, even though they had nothing to fucking do with it. And here, these same left-wing statist liberal Democrat cocksuckers in the year 2014 have plenty of opportunities to engage in social justice. They could, for example, do something about people needing permission from the government to get married. They could do something about people not being able to put whatever drugs into their own bodies they want to put into their drugs. They could do something about corporations like Apple enslaving yellow people in China to make iPhones. They could do something about brown people being murdered by flying robots. But of course they choose not to do any of that because all of those things benefit them, right? Dead brown people and enslaved yellow people and prison populations comprised mostly of black people. Those things are all good and useful to left-wing statist liberal Democrats in the year 2014. And so they're not going to lift a finger to do a fucking thing about any of that because they benefit from it. So they live in this fantasy land where they did something to help black people become equal. Even though, well, never mind. That's the end of that thought. Randy, how am I on time? Excellent. That should be, about right for me to maybe get through this without fucking it up. All right, so I just saw this on Twitter the other day. And, yeah, sorry, that was me spacing out and reading stuff. This is a website called The Good Men Project. Now, I really don't know anything about this website at all. I don't know if this is... I'm guessing it's some left-wing status shit. I'm guessing it's like some feminist shit. Oh yeah, here we go. The Good Men Project is a glimpse of what enlightened masculinity might look like in the 21st century. So that tells me that this is extremely femistatist. Whatever. All right. Here's the thing, and I'll try to remember to post the link. So apparently this photo is going around, and it's this ugly girl with short hair, so you know she's mentally damaged. And looks, I can't tell if she has a cigarette in her hand or a joint in her hand. And she's not wearing a shirt, and she's not wearing a bra, and she has little pasties over her nipples. And written on her chest, it says, "Still not." And written on her stomach, it says, "Asking for it." And now, of course, this is femistatism. This is her being empowered. She's out in a public place. I don't know where she's at, but there's a bunch of people behind her. So she's like on a sidewalk or in a plaza or something like that. And she's still not asking for it, even though she has her shirt off. Now, I think this is supposed to be... Ah, damn it. Stop it. I'm having internet difficulties because that's what I do. So I think the concept here is that this femistatist is supposed to be illustrating that she can go out in public without her shirt on and that she's still not asking for it. And I think by it, she means getting raped. So you see, we're supposed to, this is supposed to be applauded. This is for a woman, this is a great achievement. For a femistatist to go in public not wearing a shirt with little pasties over her nipples and to announce that she's not asking somebody to rape her, this is a great accomplishment if you're a woman. Now, of course, for men, a great accomplishment is running a marathon or lifting weights or going to the moon or inventing the light bulb or building a house or, you know, all sorts of things. But for women, the bar is so fucking low. I mean, this is what women become famous for, is for posting a picture of themselves on the internet not wearing a shirt in a public place with the phrase "still not asking for it" written on their skin. This is a great accomplishment if you're a femistatist. While I'm talking about the low bar, before I come back and wrap this up, let's talk about the low bar a little bit more. I remember, and I screenshotted it somewhere, and I haven't been able to find it. Oh, I wonder, I think I might have just thought of where it might be. I know. And what's that? Well, you can't look for it because it's on my computer, not yours. I was talking to Randy, not to you listeners. Oh, I don't give a fuck about dead air. All right, blah, 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 blah. Yes, I found it. This is a tweet from some stupid bitch named Katie Mack. And what she tweeted is this. Quote, "Think on this, tweeps. Every prominent woman in your timeline is making a conscious choice to risk being viciously harassed just to be here." So again, for women, they're risking being viciously harassed just by being on Twitter. That's how low the bar is for women. Black men are risking being viciously harassed just by being black and driving a car. Thank you, police brutality. Dogs all over the United States are risking being viciously shot by police officers because they're dogs. Brown people in foreign countries are risking being killed by flying robots because they're brown people. But see, for women, for women, when they really want to push their limits and they really want to go above and beyond and change the world, for them, they go on Twitter and they tweet on Twitter. And for them, that right there, they are making a conscious choice to risk being viciously harassed just to be on Twitter. Because remember, when you're a woman, when the bar is so fucking low that you can't stand to be exposed to any opinion different than your opinion, somebody fucking disagreeing with you is harassment. Vicious harassment. And we wonder why so many real men just can't take women seriously. And then, of course, as an illustration of how low the bar is with women and how women are, because as I've said so many times before, Randy, am I still recording or am I just babbling to myself? Thank you. I lost my waveform there for a minute. As I've pointed out before, women, for the most part, and yeah, I don't want to hear about the one exception that you can name. Women, for the most part, operate by dragging everybody else down to their level, as opposed to the way men, and real men, not femistatist men, not femisimps, real men operate by seeing other people better than them and aspiring to become better themselves so as to reach the level of the other people, right? No football player says, wow, I want all the other football players to run slower than me. Football players say, hey, I want to work hard until I can run as fast or faster than the other football players, right? Weightlifters don't sit around and go, wow, I want the other weightlifters to be able to lift less weight than me. No, they go and they work out so that they can lift more weight than the other weightlifters. Men see other men who are superior to them and seek to elevate themselves. Women see other women, or even other people in general, who are superior to them and seek to bring those other people down to their level, because for women, the bar is so fucking low. Another classic example of that was the Marissa Myers thing when she took over at Yahoo. What was one of the first things she does? Marissa looks at this and says, oh, there's all these other people who can work from home, and they've earned the ability to work from home, and they're working at home, and I don't get to work at home, so I'm going to drag all of them down to my level and pass this rule at Yahoo that everybody has to come work at the office and there's no more telecommuting from home. Now, whether or not that's still in effect, I don't know, and I don't give a fuck. The fact is, she did it, and she's a stupid bitch, and she will always be a stupid bitch, right? It's like if you ass-fuck an 8-year-old boy, it's not like if you stop ass-fucking him, it's forgiven and forgotten. You're still a pedophile. It's the same thing with Marissa Myers. She did something really fucking stupid, and even if she's rescinded that order, she's still a dumb fucking stupid bitch who needed to drag everybody else down to her level. And, you know, but great one, she became the CEO of the corporation. What do you mean she's not a great woman? Well, yeah, Yahoo was already there when she took over. She didn't do anything to create Yahoo. She contributed nothing to that company. The company was already there. Yahoo was already there. She came into an existence. It's like me walking into a goddamn church and saying, hey guys, I'm going to move this chair from here to there. Oh look, I built this church. No, I didn't build the fucking church. The church was already fucking there. Just because I came in and I moved a chair from one side of the fucking aisle to the other, I didn't build the church. So that was that. What? Hold on, there's important breaking news on Facebook. No, never mind. God, I love on Facebook when people who are statist like share or like ANCAP stuff. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? All right, let's get back to the dumb bitch and her, I'm not asking for it. Now, at this website, the fucking New Age men idiots. What is this shit? Oh, God. All right, I got to stop getting distracted. So, apparently, they said they we found this on Sebastian Bennick's Sebastian. See, that now, back to the previous edition of Stating the Obvious, where I talked about the book Drunk Tank Pink and how people make assumptions about other people based on their names. I mean, here you go. This guy, his name is Sebastian. What, oh what, are your first assumptions about somebody named Sebastian? Sebastian Beninke. Oh my God. Oh, stop it, internet. All right, I got my shit together finally. All right, this is how they found it on his Facebook page, and he added this commentary. And here's his commentary. This photo was posted on STFU, Conservatives Tumblr page last night. Tumblr. The reason why I'm sharing it is not because of the photo itself, which is epic in its own right. So it's epic. This is what is epic to a femistatist. A woman in public not wearing a shirt but with pasties over her nipples. That's what constitutes epic if you're a femistatist. Again, look how low the bar is. What is epic if you're a fucking ANCAP? Epic is digging your own well. Epic is setting up your own electrical supply, you know, with solar power or a windmill or something. Epic is climbing Mount Everest. Epic is going on a great bike ride. Epic is having a really fun time sitting around with your friends playing Cards Against Humanity. But for a femistatist, epicness is going out in public without a shirt on. That's all it takes to be epic if you're a femistatist. That's a low, low bar. But, okay, the reason why I'm sharing this is not because of the photo itself, which is epic in its own right, but for the comments it generated. One person wrote, quote, "But then again, it's kind of like putting on a meat suit and telling a shark not to eat you," unquote. STFU responded with this. And this is this response. And it's the response that I want to talk about. Because I, in addition to not knowing who the fuck this stupid men's site is, the Good Men Project, and not caring, I also don't know what STFU is, and I'm not going to find out because I just don't give a fuck. It's completely irrelevant to me. Here is this response from STFU, whatever the fuck that is. "We men are not fucking sharks. Why is my cell phone going off again?" Is this more Facebook shit? God damn it. Girl, get off fucking Facebook. What? No, I'm getting notifications from one of my friends. She's on there having a picture sharing fest. She's one of these ones that she shares these pictures that, and she's a fucking left-wing statist, and she shares pictures that have ANCAP tendencies, and she's not smart enough to know that, anyway, it does not matter. Facebook. Oh, Facebook. All right. Randy, is it cool if I go back to doing the podcast now? Thanks. I know, I'm just giving you shit. Hold on. Wait. Can I delay a little bit more? No, how are we on time? Okay, let's do it. God. You know, what's interesting? Yes, I'm digressing. What's interesting to me? Jeez. Oh, Randy's going to kick my ass. All right. What's interesting to me is I used to listen to Stating the Obvious all the time before I posted. Now I never listen to them. So it's interesting to me when I record an episode and I think, that wasn't very good. And then sometime in the future, I'll listen to it and it's like, hey, that wasn't half bad. And this is one of those times I'm thinking, like, I feel like these two episodes are going to completely fucking suck balls. And yet, at some point in the future, I may listen to them and they may actually be pretty fucking good. I do feel like my speaking skills are off today, though, just because they are. It's the weather. My God, I'm telling you, it is just so nice. I just want to relax and not have to think. Oh, summer. I'm so happy it's summer. All right, anyway. 7 o'clock. And yes, I'm running out of time. Thank you, dear. All right. Here is the response from STFU, whatever the fuck that is. And then I'm going to respond to their response. We men are not fucking sharks. We are not rabid animals living off of pure instinct. We are capable of rational thinking and understanding. Okay, that's fine so far. Just because someone is cooking food doesn't mean you're entitled to eat it. Just because a banker is counting money doesn't mean you're being given free money. Just because a person is naked doesn't mean you're entitled to fuck them. You are not entitled to someone else's body just because it's exposed. What is so fucking difficult about this concept? Well, let's talk about what is so difficult about this concept. You are not entitled to someone else's body just because it's exposed. Now, that's interesting because you are entitled to other people's bodies because of democracy. See, here's how it works. Let's say that this femistatist cunt in this picture, let's say that a cock went inside of her cunt, and instead of vacuuming the fetus out with a vacuum cleaner, paid for by my tax money, let's say the fetus actually came to term and a baby came out of her vag. And so when the baby comes out of her vag, it comes out here in the area known as the legal fiction known as the United States. So because the baby popped out of the vag on this particular landmass, that baby is now owned by the government of the United States. So the government of the United States is entitled to that baby's body because it came out of the womb right here. Now, that baby has to have an identification number. God damn it, Maddie, will you stop posting shit on Facebook? That baby has to have an identification number issued by the government because the government is entitled to its body. And then that baby, as it grows up, has to pay taxes to the government. It has to have that identification number to get a job in order to get paid by other people. That baby has to get permission from the government to get married. It has to get permission from the government to start a business. And if that baby wanted to go out in public without clothing on, it would not be able to do that because the government owns its body and will not allow that person to go in public without clothes on. And so this response is asking the question, what's so difficult about the concept that you are not entitled to someone else's body simply because it's exposed? Well, what's difficult is the concept that you're not entitled to somebody else's body simply because of democracy. Because that's how all of this is justified. The state in the states, in the United States, is justified by democracy, right? The government does what the people want. So whenever there's police brutality, the people want that. When Obama kills a brown person in a foreign country, the people want that. Whatever the hell is happening, you know, the fact that homosexuals can't get married without permission from the government, that's what the people want. And this is stupid fucking response, you know, just because a person is naked doesn't mean you're entitled to fuck them. No, but if that person, first of all, she's not naked. She's wearing pasties. Why? Because the state, the government that owns her body, says this femistatist can't go out in public naked. She has to wear pants and she has to wear pasties over her nipples. So she very clearly acknowledges that her body is owned by the government. If she wanted to show that her body doesn't belong to other people, she wouldn't be wearing pasties on her nipples. But she knows that her body is the property of the government, and the government says you have to cover your nipples when you go in public. So just because a person is naked doesn't mean you're entitled to fuck them. Okay, but just because a person is in the United States, is in this the area of space, of geography, known as the legal fiction, known as the United States, it does mean that the government and the state is entitled to fuck them. Right? The police can put you in prison anytime they want. They don't particularly need a reason. They can fabricate the evidence. It's been done lots of times. They can outright lie. You can, if of course you're a man, not if you're a woman, because women have special privileges men aren't allowed to have. You can be drafted into the military. That's what the Selective Service Registration is for. You can be pulled into the military and sent off to kill people. So this whole thing that femistatists are so obsessed with their ownership of their body, and yet they're completely oblivious to the fact that their body is owned by the state. Their body can't smoke marijuana without permission from the state. And if they do, the state will put them in a cage. Depending on where you're at, their body can't marry the body of another woman. You know, their body can't go out in public without pasties on their nipples. And all of this fucking need for the femistatus to try to pin all of their problems on men. Right? You know, well, men think they can rape us because of how we dress. Right? And there are some men who think that. And those men have all been through 12 years of public education. Those men have, most of them, been to college. Those men all have mothers who are also women. Those men are all a product of the statist society that we live in right now. The only way you're ever going to live in a society where people respect your ownership of your own body is to live in an anarcho-capitalist society, because you can't have respect of people owning their own bodies in a statist society, because a statist society, for it to exist and to function, has to be a society in which people don't own their own bodies. It has to be a society in which property rights are not respected. You can only have self-ownership in an anarcho-capitalist society, and yet the femistatists, who can't shut the fuck up about owning their own bodies, are one of the most opposed to, one of the groups of people collectively most opposed to anarcho-capitalism and most dependent on the state and everything the state gives them, like their welfare and their WIC and their food stamps.